This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by, in part in this opening half hour, by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness. They have opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org. to start your journey. Greg Pickle today. We'll talk Penn State wrestling. And what the heck, we might as well get in a one-on-one with Cale Sanderson as well. A lot of wrestling today. Meanwhile, Dartmouth won last night. In basketball, they beat Harvard in the season finale.
They played inspired.
We're going to get paid. Let's go play. You know, there is a case here in Pennsylvania, Johnson versus Pennsylvania, but that's a side one. It's the one in California that is the big one, because that is against the plaintiff versus USC private school, okay, but also includes the Pac-12 and the NCAA, which is a conference and the overall governing body. Well, the conference and the overall governing body happen to be private groups, private businesses. You'll hear me next week when I'm doing the Big Ten tournament. I will have to do a disclaimer. And when I do the disclaimer, I will have to say at the end, Big Ten Conference Incorporated. The Big Ten is a business. It is a private business. That's why for years people have said, why? You got 18 schools in the Big Ten. Why isn't the Big 18? Because, again, the name Big Ten is a corporate name, right? That's the reason why. I've said that probably 200 to 500 times on the show over the years, but that's just a fact. It's the corporate name of the entity. The numbers don't add up. I think I've got that part. But that's why it's called the Big Ten, because it's a corporate name. So Dartmouth, now Dartmouth College does not in any way, shape, or form want to do this. They don't want to do it. And the issue is now they're going to appeal, but with all due respect, based on the makeup of the National Labor Relations Board, I think there are five spots. One is vacant right now. Three are held by Democrats and one by a Republican or something like that. I think it's really weighted. You just can't picture, based on the makeup, that the ruling on Dartmouth will be overturned. So let's bring up a couple of items out of this. I know, how often have you heard me say, Todd, in the short time we've been together, where I bring up, you always have to consider what? Unintended consequences, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so let's take some unintended consequences. Okay, you're unionized and you're being paid. Okay, that sounds great, right? Well, what if you're averaging 2.5 points, a rebound and a half a game? You played in 24 games. Can they fire you?
You probably have to go through the union.
Yep.
Follow all the rules, but yeah, right. Probably.
Union people can be fired.
Yeah, but I just mean you have to follow the union rules in the process, but I can't believe you wouldn't be able to.
I mean, I worked at WPSU, WPSX-TV for years, and the audio people are in the Teamsters. Over the years, I no longer work there. After 30 years, I moved on. But when I was there, there were a couple of times when layoffs did occur, and most of them were non-union personnel, but there were some union people that were laid off. So, you can be fired, right? And now let's get to something else. This part really confuses me. Right? They are looking for better working conditions. Okay. Better working conditions. I mean, first of all, the players work hard in any sport. I don't care what sport it happens to be. And they really work hard. Work hard at film, work hard at practice, work hard in games. It may not work out, but right? But they ended up with their win last night. They're 6-21. It would seem that there might be a lot of candidates to be fired. Let's go with this. Remember, there's a national, there's an NBA Players Association, NFLPA, MLBPA, NHLPA, right? Well, excuse me, how many people lose their jobs? Right?
I think that they're not, this is one of the things they probably didn't consider all that much.
Well, again, these are the unintended consequences. When you are sitting down and looking at it, hey, that's great. We're going to get money. We're going to get some union protection, blah, 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 blah. But that doesn't mean it's the absolute perfect solution. I'm just saying it brings with it, okay, other, like, it's not a perfect world. Now let's go to the next part. What are the ramifications of your decision to unionize on other sports in the university? Or in this case, Dartmouth College. It's a private institution, so the NLRB has sway over them. But what does this now do? I now have to pay, in this case, basketball players. Football team has not voted yay or nay on unionization. They haven't. But this is basketball. Well, say we come to a number. I don't know. Pick a number. Jeez. So what, there's 15 of them, right? The vote was 13-2, because this included walk-ons too. So let's take, Todd, pick me a number. What do you think a number would be for a college basketball player?
There, maybe $10,000.
All right, so $10,000, okay, times 10,000, all right? So that means that's $150,000. If I'm the Dartmouth College Athletic Department, and now I'm doling out an extra $150,000, right, for a program that on ticket sales, they average $684 per game. We'll do this times $15, okay? Times 13 home games, okay? I have to dole out an extra $150,000 in salaries for a program that on tickets made $133,380. Now, that doesn't include, by the way, that's just the salaries versus the ticket number. This doesn't include travel, hotels, you know, other personnel being paid, the coach, the trainer, you know what I mean? That's just, you're already minus $17,000 just on the salary thing versus tickets. Now, the Ivy League does have a TV deal, which is has some money in it. But I'm paying an extra $150,000 to a program that on tickets made only $133,000. And that $684 per game includes students and so forth. I mean, come on. It's not $133. You and I both know it's less than that. All right? Okay. What does this now mean to balance my books about other sports? What do I now do with the field hockey team? Do I keep it? What do I do with the women's and men's soccer teams? Do I keep them? I mean, a decision like this brings with it other ramifications. It's not as simple and as easy as look at what we did. That's fine. They're entitled to vote for it. They are entitled to attempt to do this. There's nothing, I'm not taking that away. But what are the unintended consequences of the decision? We know amateurism is dead. I got that. Everybody knows that. Amateurism is dead. And but what are the ramifications of it when you are paying athletes? Now, you're already giving them cost of attendance. It's not a big number, but you're getting cost of attendance. The players do also qualify, and there's probably about a third of them that qualify for Pell Grants. Never talked about. Some odd reason, I mean, you know, a lot of people do all these fancy stories and they don't cover all the bases, which is really shortchanging you, the reader. But I mean, now you're an athletic director. How do I balance that? At Dartmouth, you don't have a Big Ten television contract. At Dartmouth, you're not going to have a Playfly radio contract. Okay? You're not going to have that. So what do you do if you were the athletic director at Dartmouth to then sit back and how do you handle this? Because you have to balance your books.
Well, I think this is where some of the have and have not things is going to come into college athletics, because
good point.
You know, even take away the Ivy League, even someplace like the MAC, you know, the Middle Atlantic Conference is going to have trouble coming up with enough money to support the programs plus paying the athletes.
Yeah. Okay. Now there are a lot of people applauding this, and I understand that. But if I am a field hockey player, I'm worried about it. Okay. Now, if I'm a women's basketball player, I'm not, because of Title IX, I think that, right? But if I am a baseball player at Dartmouth, I'm worried about it.
Wrestling and swimming are usually the ones that get it too.
Well, I'm trying to see what Dartmouth has here. Let's see, what does Dartmouth have? Let's just get to Dartmouth. Official site, Dartmouth Varsity Athletics. Let's see. Teams. They have baseball, basketball, cross-country, football, golf, ice hockey, lacrosse, heavyweight rowing, lightweight rowing, sailing, which is men's and women's, skiing, soccer, squash, swimming and diving, which you mentioned, tennis, track and field. They don't have wrestling. Not a lot of schools have wrestling. That's another thing. I mean, that's with all due, I know we got Greg on, and we'll hear from Cale today as well. But I think there's 74 wrestling programs out of 364. Okay, 290 schools don't have wrestling. Women's sports, basketball, cross country, equestrian, field hockey, golf, ice hockey, lacrosse, rowing, rugby, 15s and 7s, sailing, skiing, soccer, softball, squash, swimming and diving, tennis, track and field, volleyball. What do you do with these other sports if you're paying at your number $10,000 per player, $150,000? I mean, what do you do to balance the books? Is there somebody that doesn't make the cut? And you're going to probably start with the men's sports before you get to the women's sports because of Title IX. Do you look at your rowing teams and tell them no? Do you tell them, because I don't know how much these cost, the men's tennis team, the men's track and field team? I mean, which one do you look at?
Well, I'm also guessing the push now from the men's basketball team would be to unionize the rest of them, too.
Right, and then how do you deal with it?
Yeah.
You may look at an entire group and say, it's really sorry, but we can't afford to do it. I'm dealing with the unintended consequences. Maybe they can deal with it. Maybe through donations they can. They're Dartmouth, after all. I'm sure they have the endowment there has got to be, at Dartmouth, you'd have to think that they have to have a minimum 10-figure endowment, maybe even 11-figure endowment. For goodness sakes, Harvard's 40 billion. I mean, imagine what Dartmouth is. And I'm sure it's less than Harvard, but it's pretty darn good.
I was going to say 7.9 billion.
That's their 7.9 billion?
Billion.
Is the endowment?
Yep.
All right. See? There you go.
That's
what
all.
What did I say? 10 figures, right?
Yep.
It's a 10-figure endowment. There you go. Oh, man. Yeah, the other day, I mean, the suit was bragging about having in his savings account something about, he mentioned 6 figures in his savings account. And then all of a sudden, he's like, but he included the cents column. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So one of my favorite parts of this. Right now, Dartmouth has 5 business days to file an objection. When the original deal came up, Dartmouth missed the deadline. I thought you were an Ivy League school. I thought you could read. They missed the deadline. They had 5 days. They missed it. Like, really?
Maybe it's the same lawyers that do the NCAA stuff.
Oh, that group. Here, we have an entire section over here on antitrust law. Maybe you should read it. Did anybody ask Remy that question? He was at Bucknell earlier. You guys ever read antitrust law? No.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, whatever it may be, they'll make sure you're fully insured. They'll do everything they can to save you money, may include bundles. In certain cases, you're allowed to compare insurance rates across state lines. The bottom line is customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Very pleased to be joined by Greg Pickle on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated, with the Big Ten Wrestling Championships coming up in College Park. Greg, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Steve, it's good to be with you. Spring practice, March Madness right around the corner, and of course, Big Ten Wrestling and NCAA Wrestling, and even the PAAA State Championships now on deck. So it's a great time of year, and I'm glad to be here chatting about it with you.
All right, so let's start with the wrestling part of it. The key is to get 10 through so you can take the full team to Kansas City. As you analyze the Big Ten and analyze Penn State, especially what they did down the stretch, what do you place the odds at of getting all 10 through?
Yeah, to me, it's pretty, you know, you never say never. Someone could get hurt. Something could happen. But between the number of allocated bids the Big Ten gets and the number of at-large that exist for guys who do not get an allocated bid, it's 99.99999%. I mean, if you look at the pre-speeds that came out earlier this week, there's not a weight class where Penn State does not have a wrestler safely within that allocation number, that they stretch anywhere from the Big Ten sends 11 141-pounders to NCAAs to they send seven in a couple of different weight classes, mostly ones that Penn State is favored to win titles at. So I would say, yeah, you know, never say never about anything, but certainly we know how successful this Penn State wrestling team is. And when you combine that with the way the qualification process works, it's about as close to a guarantee as you can get.
Were there any even subtle surprises in the pre-seeds to you?
No, not really. I mean, I think when you look down this list, you know, there was a question, and not really much of one, about whether Dean Hamidi of Wisconsin or Mitchell Messenbrink of Penn State would be the one seed at 165 pounds. Hamidi's been ahead of Messenbrink in the rankings and for almost the entirety of, I guess, all of the season. So there was no real shock there. Of course, Messenbrink ends up at number two. Braden Davis is at number six at 125 pounds. You know, again, we talked the last time I was on your show, but just the craziness of 125 pounds and some of the struggles he had in February, I think that's a logical spot for him to have ended up. And the same thing, Tyler Case at number four at 149, Aaron McGowan at number five at 133. Could you quibble with it? Yeah, probably. But at the end of the day, I think Penn State probably is about where they expect it to be at the 10 spots going into the weekend. There's still a chance for those to be tweaked before the official brackets come out Friday afternoon. I'm pretty sure they'll stay pretty exactly as is, unless there's changes somewhere else in the conference, someone drops out, so on and so forth. But, yeah, all told, no, not really. I think it's probably about where most people expected Penn State's wrestlers to end up.
And, of course, there will be the mystery surrounding Carter Storace. How intrigued are you by that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any choice but to be, you know, making that the focal point of Penn State's weekend there, fairly or not. There's no doubt that what he does in Maryland is going to change the outcome of that weight class, both, you know, at Big Tens and at Nationals. Clearly, if he's healthy and he can wrestle the whole way through, he'll be more than the odds-on favorite to win the Big Ten title and the NCAA title. But, you know, Cale Sanderson talking on Monday of this week, saying that his mission is still to, you know, seek and destroy, if you will, his opponents, and that he's going to go compete, and then it's on the coaching staff to make sure that if he, by doing so, is putting himself in any position to, you know, risk further injury or just wrestle in a way that is not his up to his capabilities, that they need to step in and, you know, make sure that they're protecting him. So we'll see. That you can interpret all of that he said on Monday in a number of different ways. There's a few options here. He, of course, could step on the mat for two matches, forfeit after a second of each of those matches. That would qualify him for the NCAA tournament, eliminate him from Big Tens after just two matches, which would drop his seed at NCAA. It's not a huge deal, though, for a wrestler of his caliber. Obviously, you'll want the number one seed. That's the what everyone strives for, but if he got to Nationals and by doing that at Big Tens allowed him to be at his best at Nationals, he'd be quite okay. So that's option one. That's option two. Option one would be to be healthy enough to wrestle his way through the tournament and win the Big Ten title, as he's expected to do all season prior to suffering the injury at Edinburgh. That'd be one. You know, stepping on the mat twice and then moving on would be two. And then a third option, of course, would be similar to what Jason Nolf did a handful of years ago and wrestle through to maybe through the quarterfinals, maybe get to the semifinals, and then say, okay, you know, I've gone far enough here. I'm going to take the rest of this tournament off and the week leading up to Nationals, week and a half, to get healthy. So Penn State has options, and I think at this point you trust Cale Sanderson, Cody Sanderson, Casey Cunningham, and obviously Dan Musley, the trainer, and Carter Starace, the competitor, to put themselves and him in the best position to be at his best at Nationals. So whatever track they choose to take, it will be with that in mind.
Can he step on the mat once default and get an at-large?
The rules are a little bit murky, but the way I read them is that he has to do that twice. So he has to do it get a bye in the first round by being the number one seed. So he would have to do that once in the quarterfinals and then once in his first consolation bracket.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting mystery to have going in, without question. Look, you saw the. I realize tournament wrestling is different than dual meet wrestling. But my goodness, I mean, Greg, the possibility is there that at the end of the semifinals in Kansas City, they'll have it wrapped up. That's just the way this team is.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think that could be the case even without Shane Van Ness, of course, the former All-American who was injured for the year back in the 2023 portion of the schedule. Tyler Kasak, freshman, stepped in for him and has competed pretty well, hit some bumps here in February, as did a couple other guys. But, yeah, I mean, you look at the way things stand, and even without him, that's the case. You know, I know at the beginning of the year, a lot of the talk was about could they break the all-time scoring record. You know, obviously tougher to do without a former All-American, and with the questions surrounding Starace's health at this point, you know, I think that that's not as much of a talking point, but that's not really what Penn State set out to do. They set out to win as many national titles or finish as high on the podium as possible if they aren't competing for a national title, and of course to win it overall as a team. So, you know, putting all that aside, yeah, there's no question it can be wrapped up either at the semifinals on Friday night, or, you know, as early as the middle of the consolation round on Saturday morning. So either way, Penn State goes to Kansas City in 2 weeks as a prohibitive favorite to win yet another national title. And, you know, I think that the good thing for the sport, Steve, we talked about this a little bit before the Iowa match, but, you know, unlike years past, even if Penn State is seen as it, and rightly so, as an enormous favorite for NCAAs, good luck trying to pick 2 through 6, 2 through 7. I mean, it's a very competitive race for the runner-up spot, which, of course, nobody wants. But in terms of watching competitive action following that throughout the course of this tournament, if and when, you know, Penn State wraps things up, whatever it does, you know, that is going to be something I think fans will be able to keep an eye on, even if they're rooting only for Penn State, because there's going to be a lot of great competition both at Maryland for Big Tens and also in Kansas City for Nationals.
One more part on wrestling, then we'll turn our attention someplace else. I was talking to a long time donor, I mean, and a long time friend on Thursday night over at, when we were doing the coaches show and Cale was on the show. And he looked at me and he said, "You know what? I'm around this all the time, every day." He said, "Even I pinch myself and can't believe this on a year-in and year-out basis. You cover it all the time. You have a level of neutrality to it. Can you believe this on a day-in, day-out, month-in, month-out, and year-in and year-out basis?"
You know, I think you can, just because you know what Cale Sanderson and his staff have done year after year after year after year. But I think you do sometimes take a step back and realize how special what Penn State has and will continue to do in the sport of college wrestling is. I mean, every year you go into a season where you're losing multiple time, either national champions or one-time national champions, multi-time All-Americans. You have freshmen in the lineup. You're dealing with injuries. You have backups in, and it just doesn't matter. I mean, I think one of the most special things, and it doesn't necessarily relate to the success, but it certainly is part of the reason they're so strong year after year after year, is that at least as of now, they are not a program that has been hurt by the transfer portal. And you look at some of these guys like a Terrell Barraclough, like a David Evans, like a Lucas Cochran. I mean, I have a hard time believing they could not find a starting spot and a path to compete at these postseason events somewhere else, but they have no interest in pursuing that. You know, you have had some guys, Michael Beard obviously went to Michael Beard moved on, and he is competing with Greg Kirkley, but blocking him out. Seth Neville's at Maryland left, same deal there. Max Dean was Beard, and Greg Kirkfleet was Seth Neville's. But, you know, when you look at it, and they don't lose guys very often to the portal, and that's a part of the reason why that room is so strong. I mean, you look back at some of these matches, you have backup guys coming in and beating ranked wrestlers like we saw at the Rutgers match at the Bryce Jordan Center. So, year after year, guy after guy, it doesn't matter how much lineup turnover they have. It doesn't matter what kind of adversity they deal with. Somebody else just steps in, and because of the way, obviously, they're naturally gifted as athletes. That's why they're in that room to begin with. But because of the way they are prepared and coached, it just keeps turning over year after year after year. And it is special and something I think fans should step back and think about from time to time, because it's just not something you see or will always see, again.
Yeah, I did say after the I think it was after Rutgers, where they had to go deep into the lineup. I mean, Bearclaw didn't even wrestle at his weight class, for goodness sakes, and won. And I said it reminded me of the stories. And believe it or not, Greg, I was not alive in the late 40s, okay? when they used to say after World War II, Notre Dame, because of those returning from war, the second team gave the first team in Notre Dame the most competition it had all the way through. I said, I wonder if you can say the same thing. I wonder where the second unit of Penn State wrestling would be ranked in the top 10.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing to consider, because you're right. I mean, I think more often than not in every case, but more often than not, these guys are seeing the best competition, they're going to face in the room. Because keep in mind, you don't just have the college age wrestlers that are in there. You have the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club practicing with these guys too, guys who are multi-time All-Americans, in some cases gold medalist Olympians. So, there's so much talent in that room that, yeah, I would say, maybe not every case up and down all 10 weight classes, but a darn near majority of them, if not all of them, you have guys that, yes, are seeing in the practice room better than what they're going to see on the mat, whether it's in the dual season or the postseason.
In football, with practice starting next Tuesday, what are a couple of, on your list, interesting items you're looking to see as this progresses?
Yeah, so, of course, with all three coordinators being new, and they're not going to have any great interest in showing, I was writing this today for something over on at Blue White Illustrated later this week, but, if you're coming to the Blue-White game and you're expecting to see this brand new, all this creativity and stuff that we've talked about with Andy Koltunecki over the last however many months since it's been hired, you're going to be disappointed. Don't keep that stuff under wraps, of course, but just interested to see, number one, on the field, some of the leadership qualities that guys have talked about over the last couple of months, Steve, how they play out during practices at the Blue-White game. That's obviously one thing the Penn State team will have to replace, is some leaders from the team a year ago. So that's one thing that'll be at front and center. Obviously, the biggest talking point, I think, at least early on, is going to be getting a look at Abdul Carter at defensive end, where he's listed now on the roster, and getting some insight from James Franklin and others on how Tom Allen envisions that going. So that'll be a big talking point. And then, I'm not sure, you could tell me, but I'm not sure you're allowed to do a radio interview about Penn State and not talk about the receivers. So we'll touch on them for a second. But, Julian Fleming in that room now. Obviously, you have some returners back and guys that, and DeAndre Lambert-Smith and Trey Wallace and some others that are looking to really take that next step. So that's going to be a big talking point of the spring, too. So I think it's interesting. It's a very interesting spring. The offensive line has great competition. There's fun competition at the defensive end and defensive tackle spots, even rotation roles. You're not going to find out who the new kicker is going to be this spring, I don't think, but that's something that we'll be talking about with Justin Lustig from time to time. So obviously, this is a team that, depending on who you're looking at, ranked anywhere from inside the top 10 to right inside the top 15. So high expectations, but plenty to discuss. There's key returners at a number of spots, and we all know who those are. But I think in spring, some of the most interesting stuff to follow is how these either new guys or younger guys are stepping in and either earning roles or maybe not getting to that part, a part of the depth chart that we expected them to as quickly as expected. So it's going to be fun. I can't believe that spring is here. Spring practice is here, and that we're talking about postseason wrestling as well. I'm not sure where the first 2 months went of this year, but we're here. And I think for Penn State, listening to Chuck Losey talk last week, it sounds like they had a good winter workout session, which of course every program is going to say they do. But you saw some of that leadership stuff pop up during that session that was open to reporters last week, and we're going to see more of that in the weeks and months ahead leading into the Blue-White game. So there'll be a lot to talk about.
You did a reference in the open just to let you know that I was listening, about the PIAAs. Anything of interest that you want to drop in about the PIAAs that you're looking at?
Yeah, so there's a few commits that'll be on hand, a few targets. I mean, I think if you want to combine the most relevant thing as it relates to combining football and wrestling together, Caleb Brewer, the class of 2024 signee out of Wyomissing, is going to be on the mat. He qualified for the state tournament at the class 2A level, so he'll be competing starting tomorrow morning in Hershey, and I think that is obviously, you know, how far he can go. We'll have to wait and see. He's ranked 10th right now in PA at that weight by Flow Wrestling. Certainly, I think he got a good draw to go as far as he can. He's going to run into the number one guy in the semifinals in all likelihood. But, you know, I think he could have enrolled early and elected not to, simply because he wanted to chase, have a final chance to win a PAA state championship in wrestling. So he's had a good season to date. And we'll see how that goes. You know, Asher Cunningham's a state college native, tremendous wrestler at the class 3A level. He's going to be competing, one of the commits, that is on hand, one of a handful. So, yeah, we'll have complete coverage of that as well. But certainly you have some football flavor down there. You obviously have some wrestling flavor down there. Yeah. You have guys going for state medals before they head to state college here in a couple months.
Greg, you do a brilliant job of covering it all. Thanks so much for the time you gave us today. Really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Steve. See you soon. Have a good day.
That's Greg Pickle on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. Today's show brought to you in part by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. So much to talk about with the great people at Purdy Insurance, because customer service means everything to them. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Half hour brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right. That time of the year, a lot going on. I know, Todd, you have great interest in the PIAA Wrestling Championships and so forth. That's why I wanted to slip that in with Greg there at the end, because he covers it all. And, March is an exciting time across the board. It's not just March Madness. It's not just Caitlin Clark. It is a lot of wrestling and high school basketball championships and so forth. Well, I used to love going to the high school basketball championships when they were at the Jordan Center. I used to just go in there and just enjoy it, just kind of kick back and like put my feet up and watch. Kind of miss going to that.
That's one of the reasons that I've always wondered why that, you know, I like the Giant Center, and just with, you know, the convenience of the middle part of the state, it would be really nice for everybody to play to get to the Jordan Center. I think that's one thing missing in our District 4 playoffs too, is, you know, District 2, the Wilkes-Barre area, plays to get to the arena. The District 3 teams play in the Giant Center. We play at home schools. I'd like to see them try and get Soika, maybe Pavilion, to play them in, but, you know, it's just how it goes sometimes. But yeah, I wish the state finals were a little closer. I'm glad that they're at least on TV, that I get to watch them.
Yeah. I end up watching it on TV now. When they were here, I would go. Now, a lot of championships are here at Penn State, and you have baseball championship, softball championship, among others, that take place. And I think they've kind of turned, especially a lot of the spring stuff, into a Jubilee weekend here, which has been great.
Yeah, it has been. I've actually been lucky enough last year was the first year in a couple that I haven't been up for a softball state championship game. They've done a great job at Beard Field with it.
So, I mean, I've been able to, like, slip into a couple of them, like, quietly. Just, like, I know, it helps that I know where to go in. It's just like, that helps. And at least catch, you know, a few innings here, a few innings there, whatever it may be.
Well, now I'm going to, if I go, I'm going to look for you, and I'll just go, it's Steve Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, that's happened.
Yeah,
so whatever. Doesn't mean anything, but still. But I've been able, and I think they're great to watch. And you know, the Giant. I told you I've never been in the Giant Center. Never have. Now I know Penn State's talking about playing basketball in the Giant Center, which would be great because I've done several games. Many games in my career at Hershey Park Arena, which is always neat. You always go in there like, hey, this is where Wilt scored 100 points. Hey, you know, you always like at least think of that to go with all the other great moments that have taken place there. But yeah, I've driven by the Giants Center, but I've never been in it.
Obviously, it's very similar to the Jordan Center, but it's a big difference from the arena, I can tell you that.
Right. Yeah, no. Look, I'm sure it's got a lot of great modern amenities. I was talking to somebody the other day that goes to the Hershey Bears once in a while. They love going in there for a Hershey Bears game. I mean, maybe one of the, you know, I mean, oddly enough, the only hockey game I ever saw down there was actually a preseason game between the Whalers and the Capitals. And that was at Hershey Park Arena. So, not even that was at the Giants Center. So,
that's one thing I've never seen at either of those buildings is a hockey game, oddly enough.
Really?
Concerts, games.
Yeah. Oh, and I love hockey.